Dr. Robert Shapiro is founder and chairman of Sonicon and speaking about the future of the U.S. Postal Service at an event hosted by the Brookings Institution. Dr. Shapiro, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. You said at this event something that is counterintuitive to what some folks in Congress believe, at least, and that is that the Postal Service's problems are not from mismanagement, but you said it's an issue of responding to incentives. What did you mean by that? What incentives in particular? Thank you for joining me, sir.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to talk to you today, Francis. You know, I've been in the federal government at two points in my career, and I've consistently found that the quality of management is very similar to the overall quality of management we see in the private sector. But the fact is, managers manage in response to the needs of their environment. And one of the great problems that Postal Service managers face is that because they have no competition for letter mail, because the core and majority of their business is protected from competition, they have many fewer incentives to figure out how to be more efficient, what are the right investments to make, how to innovate, what kind of changes to make in order to improve service or to reduce costs. And that's very fundamental. Private companies figure that out either well or not so well, and the results are clear in the bottom line. They figure it out because they have to, because they have competitors who have figured it out and are taking part of their market share. Nobody can take the Postal Service's market share in periodicals or letter mail or political mail or the mail of charitable organizations and so on. And so they have many fewer incentives to make those kinds of judgments and decisions.
The Postal Service has tried renegotiating labor agreements and has talked about the need to change the healthcare prepayment requirements and a lot of other mandates that they believe are impacting their ability to be financially viable. Do you agree with those contentions that those are holding the Postal Service back, or are they overcomable in your view?
Well, they're costs. They are additional costs. It's hard to say they hold it back because the subsidies they receive far exceed those costs. And, you know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics puts out a very interesting set of data in which they look at the average annual gains in productivity by the Postal Service from 1987 to 2012. So that's over a 25-year period. And also for the private sector companies in the same general line. So you have warehousing and storage companies, you have air freight and rail freight companies, you have delivery companies. And the fact is that over that period, the productivity of the Postal Service grew at an average annual rate of 0.7% a year, and the productivity of their private sector counterparts grew 2.5% a year. That's an enormous difference. If you take the impact of that productivity difference on over that 25-year period, the lower productivity increased the costs of the Postal Service by $20 billion by 2012. So if they had been simply as efficient and innovative as the their private sector counterparts, they could reduce those costs by $20 billion, which is a great deal more than the additional costs associated with the constraints on their labor force, their ability to manage their own labor force. And the fact is that the labor costs amount to less than half of that difference. The other half, again, goes back to what we were talking about before, which is they don't have an incentive the right incentives to figure out how to serve their customers more efficiently and more productively and in ways that would please their customers.
Dr. Robert Shapiro of Sonicon is my guest. He spoke at a Brookings Institution event on the U.S. Postal Service. Is it as simple, Dr. Shapiro, as providing some private sector competitor for the Postal Service who can or will compete on in all of the areas that you referred earlier, where right now there isn't competition? Or is there some other incentive structure that would make sense for the Postal Service as a quasi-government organization?
Well, you know, that's a... it sounds like an easy choice, but it's actually a very complicated choice. The fact is that the Postal Service has enormous, what economists call, economies of scale and scope. They have built out this enormous infrastructure. It's the labor force, it's the fleet, it's all the post offices, the storage facilities, the delivery facilities, in order to visit potentially up to 150 million places every day, 6 days a week. Now, they don't visit every place every day, but that's the scale of the problem or the task. And no private competitor has achieved that kind of scale and scope. And the reason is that they didn't have a monopoly right to it. And so... I think the first task, you know, the post office exists in two different markets. There's the monopoly market where they have no competition, which is daily delivery of letter mail. And then there is the competitive market, which is the delivery of packages. And it is clear that the subsidies and the particular privileges of the Postal Service allow it to cross-subsidize its competitive operations. That is, it uses advantages which it achieves in its monopoly sphere in order to undercut competition with the private sector. And the problem with that is that it weakens the private sector. And so the first thing we need to do before we think about introducing either actual competition or something that operates like competition for the Postal Service in letter mail is to make sure that the post office cannot cross-subsidize its operations in the package delivery market, at least to the extent we believe it's doing so today.
What do you think has to happen in order for that to happen, Dr. Shapiro?
Well, I think the first thing that needs to happen is that people need to take a clear look at exactly what the subsidies are and what they're worth and how they are operating in the competitive market. For example, you know, we have the Postal Regulatory Commission, and which issues a list and valuation of its subsidy of the subsidies for the Postal Service, and it estimates they're worth about $5 billion, which happens to be equal to the cost of the additional burdens they have to bear, like delivery 6 days a week. But the fact is that accounting is not correct. It omits certain subsidies. You know, the Postal Service borrows from the Treasury at highly subsidized interest rates. That's worth half a billion dollars a year. It pays federal taxes on its on profits from its package delivery, the competitive operations, but in fact it pays those taxes into a special fund at the Treasury, which it can then draw on. So it just recirculates. In effect, it doesn't pay any federal taxes. That's worth $850 million a year. It's exempt from state and local property and real estate taxes. That's estimated by the Regulatory Commission to be worth about $315 million But the fact is, that's based on the historic cost of the properties, not on their current value. So if you held something for 30 years and you were still paying your property tax based on what you paid for it as opposed to what it was worth today, your property taxes would probably be a lot lower. Well, we estimate that that the actual value of the property, actually, the government says the actual value is $85 billion as opposed to the historic cost, which was only $27 billion, well, that's worth another $1.5 billion. But the clearest example is the mailbox monopoly. Under law, by law, and I never knew this until I really delved into the subject, under the law, the post office is the only entity that can leave anything in a mailbox. If you're UPS or FedEx or anybody else, you have to deliver everything to the customer's door. Well, the majority of deliveries go to places that either have curbside mailboxes, so you just the Postal Service just pops it in the mailbox as opposed to going up to the door, or centralized mailboxes in a mailroom, for example, for an office building or for a apartment building. Well, that subsidy of allowing the Postal Service only to deliver to mailboxes and requiring that everyone else go to the door of the customer, that's worth probably about $14 billion a year. That's an enormous subsidy. And we can see how the scale and scope create cross subsidies. Let me just give you the simplest example. If you have to deliver the mail every day to a residence, to every residence, and you have also have to deliver a package from your competitive operations. From your monopoly operations, you have their letter mail. From your competitive operations, you've got a package from Amazon or from wherever. What is the additional cost to leave the package over the cost of already delivering the mail? And that gives you an example of how the monopoly, and it's the biggest example, of how the monopoly operations create a cross-subsidy for the competitive operations. The incremental cost of leaving the package in addition to the mail, when you were already going there for the mail, that incremental cost is very, very small. The companies competing against the Postal Service in the package delivery market, they don't have that advantage. And in fact, you know, the Postal Service has been running ads that say that encourage people when they are returning goods which they bought online to just leave it with their mail. And we'll deliver it. Well, of course, because they're already coming up to deliver the mail. That's an unfair advantage over the private sector. Now, I'm not saying, again, that the Postal Service is bad or evil in any conceivable way. It is simply responding to the conditions and incentives within which it operates. Well, we need to begin by recognizing exactly what they are, exactly what they're worth, and then we can make decisions about how to address it. And, you know, do you want to keep a monopoly that is can only deliver mail, for example? Or do you want to go to the other other end of the policy spectrum and introduce competition in mail delivery. Sweden has done that, for example, and done it quite successfully. It's privatized the delivery of mail. It made the Postal Service a private company and allowed everybody else to compete with it. And that's worked well in Sweden. We don't know that it would work well here. And we need to be careful because there are a lot of people involved in this. You know, the Postal Service is the second largest employer in the United States, civilian employer, behind Walmart. It's a big operation. Its revenues would make it 43rd in the Fortune 100 companies. So you've got a lot of people who are potentially affected by these changes. A lot of people who are not in any conceivable way at fault for the distortions which this hybrid of a monopoly operation and a competitive operation have produced, and that includes the postal workers. So we need to tread carefully and tread on the basis of hard information, hard data, and a recognition of what we want. You know, the public, for example, supports pretty overwhelmingly saving money for the Postal Service by cutting back residential deliveries from 6 to 5 days a week. But the fact is that Congress won't let them do that. You know, there are the volume of letter mail is declining very pretty rapidly, and the reason is the Internet. You know, how many of your listeners, like myself, now receive most of their bills online instead of in the mail. And an increasingly prominent part of the business is the mass mailers who get preferential rates. All those catalogs that you receive and all those advertisements you receive, we really need to ask a pretty serious question about why those customers receive preferential rates, lower rates. If the Postal Service is going to have to operate in a competitive environment, the Congress should not be telling them what the rates ought to be.